If you are up on your American Civil War history, you no doubt have discovered this fun tidbit of etymological curiosity. The name we use for facial hair that grows past the ears but doesn't join into a full beard and leaves the chin clean-shaven, i.e. sideburns, comes from the gruff and peculiar-looking Ambrose Burnside, a Union general, three-time governor of Rhode Island, and United States senator. A distinguished man, even if he hadn't contributed so meaningfully to our language. But he did. And now we have that wonderful term for that rather suspicious style, even though I had them in the 90s. All us cool kids did. But there are a lot of etymologies that are fascinating, puzzling, amusing, or dumbfounding. For instance, did you know that the mustache is named after the French nobleman Count Moustache de Fable? You did not, because I made that one up. But on today's Saturday matinee, we bring you some real etymologies that are just as improbable or interesting from the podcast Etymolion, a show about the history of words. I hope you enjoy. While you're listening, be sure to search for and follow Etymolion. We put a link in the show notes to make it easy for you. History Daily is sponsored by Shopify. Starting something new isn't just hard, it's terrifying. Believe me, I'm so accustomed to working alone in a small, windowless room that putting together my stage show scared me out of my mind. What if no one comes? But the first show went really well, and it helped to have the support of my team. If you're thinking of doing something new and daring yourself, you'll need the support from your team too, and a partner like Shopify can make all the difference. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., from household names like Heinz and Mattel to brands just getting started. Using Shopify, you can get the word out like you have a whole marketing team behind you. Easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. Best yet, Shopify is your commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. So it's time to take those scary what-ifs into... with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/historydaily. Go to shopify.com/historydaily. That's shopify.com/historydaily.
What does connecting two devices together have to do with blue teeth? Why is it cilantro in America and coriander in Britain? And how is the dollar related to a valley in the Czech Republic? You'll be able to answer these questions after listening to this episode. Most of the words we use every day have hidden histories. Once you start noticing them, it completely changes how you hear language. That's what etymology is, tracing where words come from and how their meanings change over time. Take the word manufacture. Today it makes you think of mass production. Originally it meant to make by hand, from the Latin manus meaning hand, and facere meaning to make. Those roots appear in other words. Manus meaning hand gives us manicure, care of the hands. Facere meaning to make is behind factory and fashion. Sometimes linguistic connections are stranger. Words that seem completely unrelated, like gossip and sibling, can share the same origin. Other words are named after real people. Some mean almost the opposite of what they once did, and others trace their origins back to literature and mythology. I'm Leon, also known as Etymolion, creator of Word History, the podcast, and Derivity, the daily etymology word game. In this episode, I'll take you through over 35 word origins. If you want to know what asparagus has to do with sugar, why a pasta sauce is angry, and how the words glamour and grammar are connected, keep listening. Some people don't just make history, they become words. Bluetooth is named after Harald Bluetooth, a 10th century king who united various Danish tribes. That idea of bringing people together inspired the name for the wireless technology that connects devices. His nickname likely came from a dead tooth that appeared dark blue or black. His real name was Harald Gormson. The name Bluetooth was originally intended as a temporary placeholder when the technology was developed in the 1990s. Mesmerize comes from Franz Mesmer, an 18th century doctor who believed in a mysterious force called animal magnetism. He claimed he could cure patients by controlling invisible forces in the body using magnets. His methods often sent people into trance-like states, and his name became a verb, meaning to hypnotize or capture attention. Maverick comes from Samuel Maverick, a 19th century Texan who refused to brand his cattle, something nearly all ranchers did to mark ownership. Maverick came to mean someone who doesn't follow rules or convention. Galvanize can mean to shock or stimulate into action, and is named after Luigi Galvani. In the late 18th century, he found that when electricity was applied to the legs of dead frogs, they twitched as if they were alive. Sideburns were once called side whiskers, but later became known as Burnsides, named after the 19th century army officer Ambrose Burnside, who famously wore them. Over time, the elements of his name flipped to form sideburns, which sounded more natural. Silhouette comes from Étienne de Silhouette, a French finance minister in the 18th century. These simple shadow portraits became associated with his name, but no one is completely sure why. One theory is that it was a joke about his strict austerity measures, as the portraits were cheap and minimal. Another suggests the simplicity of the images reflected the short length of his time in office. A third claims he may have made these kind of portraits himself as a hobby. We can go much further back to find words inspired by people. Greek mythology provides many examples. Promethean describes someone daring or innovative. It comes from the Titan Prometheus, who defied the gods by stealing fire and giving it to humanity. The word nemesis refers to a rival or something that leads to a downfall. Nemesis was the goddess of retribution, ensuring that justice was served. A task that is impossible to complete can be described as Sisyphean. This comes from the character Sisyphus, who was condemned to roll a boulder up a hill for eternity, only for it to fall back down each time he reached the top. Some words seem to have nothing in common, but they come from the same place. The word dollar ultimately traces back to a word meaning valley. In the Middle Ages, the Czech town of Jakimov was known as St. Joachimsthal. The name combines Joachim for the biblical father of Mary and thal meaning valley, a word from the same root as the English word dale, which also means valley. In the 16th century, silver was discovered there and a local noble began minting coins from it. These coins took their name from the town and became known as Joachimsthalers. Over time, the name was shortened to Thalers and the term spread across Europe. The Spanish carried their version of the word to the Americas, and when the United States sought to distance itself from British influence, it adopted dollar as its currency name. In the 1960s, Australia also adopted the term dollar when it moved to decimal currency. Other suggestions for the name at the time included the royal, the rue, and the austral. What the British call coriander, Americans call cilantro. They sound different, but they come from the same root. It's easy to see how the Latin coriandrum became the British coriander. In American English, cilantro came through Spanish, likely through a variant coliandrum, where the R shifted to an L, coliandrum becoming cilantro. The word glamour makes you think of beauty and elegance, while grammar deals with rules and correctness. They seem completely unrelated, but one does come from the other. In ancient Greek and Latin, grammatike and grammatica referred to letters. This became grammar in Old French and English, meaning the correct use of language. It also developed a broader sense of learning, especially the study of magic. From that older meaning came the Scottish pronunciation form glamour, first used to describe magic and later adopted into wider English to mean something enchanting. The frame an artist uses to hold their work is named after an animal. The connection comes from carrying a load. The word easel is linked to ass, through the Dutch word ezel, meaning donkey.
History Daily is sponsored by Shopify. Starting something new isn't just hard, it's terrifying. Believe me, I'm so accustomed to working alone in a small, windowless room that putting together my stage show scared me out of my mind. What if no one comes? But the first show went really well, and it helped to have the support of my team. If you're thinking of doing something new and daring yourself, you'll need the support from your team too, and a partner like Shopify can make all the difference. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., from household names like Heinz and Mattel to brands just getting started. Using Shopify, you can get the word out like you have a whole marketing team behind you. Easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. Best yet, Shopify is your commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. So it's time to take those scary what-ifs into... with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/historydaily. Go to shopify.com/historydaily. That's shopify.com/historydaily.
Many culinary terms have origins that link back to everyday words. Minestrone might seem like an unusual name for a soup, especially when most soups are named after their ingredients. Its full name, minestrone di verdure, means vegetable soup, and the deeper origin of minestrone points to the idea of the soup being something served. The word comes from the same root as the word minister, in Britain, someone who serves in political office, and the word administration, in the US, the serving government. Soup also plays a role in the origin of the word restaurant. The first modern restaurants trace back to the late 18th century. A soup seller in France named Boulanger is often credited as the first restaurateur. He sold what he called restorative broths, believed to restore health and energy. From the French word for restore came the English word restaurant. There's a pattern in the origins of whiskey, vodka and eau de vie. Vodka comes from the Russian voda, meaning water. Whiskey comes from the Gaelic wishkabea, meaning water of life. And eau de vie is French for water of life, too. A crudité platter consists of raw vegetables served with dips. The name comes from the Latin crudus, meaning raw. The same root appears in crude oil, describing its unrefined state, and cruel, harsh or raw treatment. Haute cuisine literally means high cooking in French. Haute coming from the Latin altus, meaning high. You can see this root in words like alto, the highest male singing voice, altitude, height above ground, and exalt, to praise highly. The artificial sweetener known as aspartame was discovered in the 1960s by an American chemist researching treatments for gastric ulcers. While testing compounds, he licked his finger to pick up a piece of paper and noticed a sweet taste. The name aspartame comes from aspartic acid, one of its components, which itself is named after asparagus, where the compound naturally occurs. The tomato-based pasta sauce arrabbiata, made with chili and garlic, has a fiery origin. The name comes from the Italian rabbia, meaning anger, from the idea that the spice might make diners flushed or heated. The same Latin root appears in English words like rage and rabid. If you're enjoying these word origins, remember to follow my podcast, Etymology on Word History. For now, words that have shifted over time. Take cordial. It originally meant heartfelt and sincere. You can still hear that in phrases like, you are cordially invited. Today, though, it often suggests a more polite, surface-level friendliness, especially between people who don't really get on. The word comes from the Latin cor, meaning heart. This is a relative of an ancient Greek root, seen in words like cardiac and cardiovascular, both relating to the heart. The Latin form also gives us words like courage and even record, from the idea of remembering by heart or mind. Cordial is also used for a drink. In Britain, it refers to a concentrated sweet fruit drink. In America, it can mean a sweet liqueur. This meaning comes from the idea that these drinks were once medicinal tonics, thought to stimulate the heart. Egregious once meant outstanding in a good way. Today, it usually describes something shockingly bad. The word comes from the Latin ex meaning out, and grex meaning flock, so it originally referred to something that stood out from the crowd. That same root, grex meaning flock, also appears in words like segregate, aggregate, gregarious, and congregate, all of which relate to groups. The word nice once meant foolish or ignorant before it came to mean pleasant. It comes from the Latin ni meaning not, and scire meaning to know. That same root gives us the word science. The Latin form meant knowledge more generally, rather than its modern more specific sense, being the study of the physical and natural world. The word silly goes back to Old English, the language spoken in England between the 5th and 12th centuries, where it meant happy. Today, it has shifted to mean foolish. The word girl once referred to any young child, male or female. Its meaning narrowed in the early 15th century, around the same time that boy emerged for a male child, having previously referred to a male servant. What we now call a single P was once peas. Because peas sounded like a plural, English speakers reanalyzed it, creating P as the singular and peas as the plural. Any type of food or a meal was referred to as meat up until the 15th century, when the term began to narrow towards just the flesh of an animal.
History Daily is sponsored by Shopify. Starting something new isn't just hard, it's terrifying. Believe me, I'm so accustomed to working alone in a small, windowless room that putting together my stage show scared me out of my mind. What if no one comes? But the first show went really well, and it helped to have the support of my team. If you're thinking of doing something new and daring yourself, you'll need the support from your team too, and a partner like Shopify can make all the difference. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., from household names like Heinz and Mattel to brands just getting started. Using Shopify, you can get the word out like you have a whole marketing team behind you. Easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. Best yet, Shopify is your commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. So it's time to take those scary what-ifs into... with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/historydaily. Go to shopify.com/historydaily. That's shopify.com/historydaily.
Now for words pertaining to social conduct, how we speak and how we behave. Silence was encouraged in monastic settings. In medieval times, monks and nuns were expected to speak only when necessary. When discussion was required to run the monastery, it took place in a designated room called the parlour. The term comes from the Latin parlour meaning to speak. Parlour later came to refer to rooms in manor houses used for private conversation and eventually to family sitting rooms, In 19th century American English, the meaning expanded further to include businesses such as beauty parlors and pizza parlors. From parlor meaning to speak, we also get parliament, referring to the UK's legislative body, where speaking and debate take place. The same root appears in parole, from the idea of a spoken pledge to secure release, and parable, a short story. Speaking of stories, those that center on animals are known as fables. This comes from a Latin root also meaning to speak, which also gives us affable, describing someone who is easy to talk to. When conversation turns to sharing information about others, especially when it may not be true, it becomes gossip. The word gossip is related to the word sibling. In Old English, sib meant kinship or relationship. From this came sibling, which originally referred to any relative, not just brothers or sisters. After falling out of use in the Middle Ages, the term sibling was revived in the early 20th century, as scientific and genetic research required a more precise term for people who share parents. To explain how sibling is related to gossip, in Old English, a godsib was a godparent, god for the spiritual connection, and sib for kinship. Over time, the word came to refer to close friends, then to the kind of talk shared between them, and eventually, to idle or speculative talk about others. Behaviour is as much a part of social conduct as speech. Orthodox describes adherence to established beliefs, especially in religion. The word origin here is about keeping on the right path. It comes from the ancient Greek orthos, meaning straight. The same root appears in orthodontics, the field of dentistry that deals with the straightening of the teeth. Etiquette refers to the rules of behaviour in polite society. Its origins are often linked to King Louis XIV of France, who is said to have issued written rules of conduct on small slips of paper for his court. These acted as labels instructing visitors on how to behave, including simple rules such as not walking on the grass. The word etiquette comes from a Middle French term meaning label, referring to those slips of paper. The same root also gave English the word ticket, and is also related to sticker. Many words are shaped by characters from literature. Gargantuan and Pantagruelian both describe something enormous. They come from Gargantua and Pantagruel, a series of novels by Francois Rabelais about the adventures of two giants. Quixotic describes someone idealistic to the point of impracticality. It comes from Don Quixote by Cervantes, a novel about a man who sets out on misguided adventures. Lilliputian refers to something very small. It comes from Gulliver's Travels by Jonathan Swift, about a traveller who visits Lilliput, inhabited by tiny people. Brobdignagian is the opposite, describing something enormous, also from the same tale, where Gulliver visits a land of giants. Once you know the roots of words, you start to see them everywhere. In this closing segment, we'll look at some Latin roots, their meanings, and the English words that come from them. You should be able to work out the connections, and maybe even think of a few more. Bene means good or well, and gives us benevolent, benefit, and benign. Dux means to lead, and appears in duke, educate, and seduce. Capio means to seize, and shows up in capture, perceive, and intercept. Facere means to make or do, producing words like factory, defect, and fashion. Sequa means to follow, forming words like sequence, execute, and consecutive. Pendere means to weigh or hang, seen in suspend, append, and pendant. Manus means hand and appears in manipulate, manual, and emancipate. That's the end of this episode, but there are more word origins on my podcast. Search Etymolion Word History, where you'll find over 100 episodes. Have a listen, and remember to leave a rating.